the topic for today is going to be, for this week, for the rest of this week, is going to be Taqwa. Taqwa. What is Taqwa? And again, the reason why we're choosing this subject is because a lot of Muslims are not aware of what Taqwa really is. Okay? And again, Taqwa is something that all of us need to work on incorporating into our hearts and into our being as Muslims who are aspiring to become believers. And today what we're going to do is talk about what Taqwa is, and we're going to talk about how the Sahaba viewed this term Taqwa and how important it was to them. Okay, again, we have to remember, guys, that the Sahaba were the best of all Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, he said, each generation of Muslims will become worse and worse and worse. The best generation of Muslims are the generation of Muslims that were with him, the first three generations. And we have to face the reality, guys. We are the present generation of Muslims. So what does that mean? That means that we are the worst. We are the worst of all Muslims. And so that is why we indulge in all these things such as shirk and innovation and all this. And just like we Muslims today are so lost and confused and so busy indulging in shirk and bidah and all these haramities, the Sahaba were the opposite of us. They would never think of committing shirk. They did everything in their power to stay away from innovation. They did everything in their power to stay away from deliberately committing sins. So they were the best generation of Muslims, and they are the reason why that is the reason why they will be of the 70,000 who enter into paradise without having to go through hell. Okay, one of the things the Sahaba used to do is they would always check their piety, their taqwa. Okay, taqwa refers to piety. It refers to having fear of Allah. The Sahaba used to check themselves, and they never professed to be a person possessing taqwa. Because Allah tells us in the Quran, and the interpretation, the meaning, he says, therefore, do not declare yourselves as being purified, because only Allah knows best who has taqwa. So the Sahaba didn't go around saying, I am a pious person, I have taqwa, because they knew that taqwa was something that you could not tell just by looking at a person if they had it. Taqwa is something that goes deeper than that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he pointed to his chest and he said, taqwa is here. Taqwa is here. And what this meant is that taqwa lies in your heart. It lies in your heart. And only Allah can look inside your heart and see what's there. So that's why we don't go around saying that person there is pious, that person there is pious, because you don't know that. Only Allah knows who is truly pious. Only Allah can see inside the hearts of people to see who has piety and who doesn't. Umar ibn Abdulaziz, may Allah be pleased with him, used to say, no one can reach the station of taqwa until he possesses neither actions nor words that can be exposed to his embarrassment, either in this world or in the hereafter. And one day a person came to him and asked him, they said, O Umar, when does the worshiper reach the peak of piety? And he answered him, he said, if the person puts all his thoughts and all his desires that were in his heart on a plate, and then walks around the marketplace and does not feel ashamed of anything that is there, only then can he say he is a person who has attained taqwa or piety. So again, guys, piety or taqwa is something that is not obvious with the naked eye. We can't just look at a person and say that person is pious. Abu Darda, may Allah be pleased with him, said, from the completion of taqwa is that the servant fears from his Lord even in regards to those things that weigh an atom. And what this means is a person who has taqwa is a person who fears Allah so much that he would never think to commit even the smallest act of disobedience. And this is why I am always telling you guys here that there's a difference between a believer and a Muslim. Anybody can be a Muslim, but not everybody makes it to the status of a believer. A believer is a person who would never, ever deliberately disobey Allah. Even when it comes to the things that seem so simple. However, a person who is not a believer may say, well, okay, I'll go ahead and commit this sin because it's just a minor sin. That's not a person who has taqwa. The person who has taqwa fears Allah even in regards to the smallest things. Once Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, was asked about taqwa. And he said, taqwa is a road full of thorns. The person who walks it needs to have extreme patience. So here we can see from this statement that it's not easy to achieve taqwa. It's not easy to attain it. It takes a lot of patience, a lot of willpower. And not everyone can walk this road. Sufyan al-Thawri, may Allah be pleased with him, said, we met a people who loved it when you would tell them to fear Allah. Today you find people that become annoyed and offended when you tell them to fear Allah. And this is so true today. You tell a Muslim today to fear Allah, they feel that you have insulted them. But the Sahaba weren't like that. If you were to tell one of them to fear Allah, they took this as a compliment, as a reminder to them. And then once a person came to Fudail ibn Iyad, may Allah be pleased with him, and they said, Fudail, which country would you like me to live in? And he answered him, he said, there is no connection between you and any nation. The best country for you is the country which helps you to acquire taqwa. And this is something I am constantly telling you guys over and over again. So many Muslims think that the only way to become believing Muslims is to make hijrah, to move to Saudi Arabia. But we have to wake up and face the facts, guys. You got people in Saudi Arabia who commit sins too. Where does Allah say that everybody who lives in Saudi Arabia is going to heaven? You got people who drink alcohol in Saudi Arabia. You got prostitution in Saudi Arabia. You got a problem with drugs in Saudi Arabia. You guys witness people who live in Mecca coming here to our website behaving like heathens. So just because a person lives in a certain country doesn't mean that that person's going to have taqwa. We have to understand something. This entire earth belongs to Allah. Allah created the earth. The entire earth belongs to Him. And Allah tells us, He tells us that this earth is spacious. When you are lying in your grave and the angels of the grave come to you and they start to question you, they're going to ask you, why didn't you make hijrah? Was not the earth spacious? Why couldn't you obey Allah? Okay? So nowhere does Allah tell you that in order to attain taqwa or be a good Muslim, you have to live in a certain part of his earth. He says all of his earth is spacious. And just like Fudail ibn Iyad said, there is no connection between us with any nation. We're Muslims. And the best country to live in is whatever country helps you to acquire that taqwa. If you got taqwa here in America, then there's no reason for you to make hijra. If you got taqwa living in Egypt, there's no reason for you to make hijra. But if you're living in America and you're having a hard time, you can't practice your religion. Somebody is preventing you, or you're giving in to the temptations, then you make hijra. You move someplace where you can attain piety. But if you have a piety, then you have no reason to move. And this is something that we have to understand and accept as Muslims. Because a lot of Muslims think that they're supposed to live in Saudi Arabia as if Allah only created Saudi Arabia. And this is not true. All of this earth is spacious, belongs to Allah, and you can live wherever you can acquire taqwa. So these are some of the sayings of some of our Sahaba in regards to taqwa. And then we can move on to Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him. Abu Bakr, who was the best friend of the Prophet Muhammad SAW, and also the first Khalifa of the Muslims. Abu Bakr used to say in his khutbah, he used to say, I advise you to observe taqwa and to praise Allah as he deserves to be praised. I advise you to mix hope and fear and combine importunity with the asking for help. For Allah has promised Zachariah, may Allah be pleased with him and his family. Allah has said in the interpretation of the meaning, they used to race towards goodness. Invoke us with hope and fear, and they were devout to us. So here you can see, guys, even Abu Bakr telling the Muslims how important it is for us to observe piety and to praise Allah. How we should be living our lives having hope and fear of Allah. When Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, was about to die, he called upon Umar and he advised him first and foremost. He advised him to first and foremost fear Allah. He said, O Umar, I advise you to fear Allah. And whoever fears Allah has protected himself from his punishment. Whoever offers Allah a loan, he will repay him. And whoever thanks Allah, he will give him more. So, O Umar, make taqwa your goal and make taqwa the polish of your heart. And these were the last words that Abu Bakr spoke before he died. And he had named Umar to be his successor. The last words he spoke to him was to make taqwa, make piety, make the fear of Allah your goal. Because again, a person who fears Allah is a person who would never deliberately disobey him. Then we have Ali. May Allah be pleased with him. Ali once deputized a person and sent him out on an expedition. And before the person left, he told him, he said, I advise you to fear Allah, whom you have to meet, and besides whom you have no destination. Remember that Allah is the one who controls the world and the hereafter. So here we have Ali reminding his companions to fear Allah and to know that Allah is the one in control of everything. We don't control nothing. Allah is in control of everything. And once Omar bin Abdul Aziz wrote a letter to a man. He said, I advise you to observe fear of Allah. Allah accepts nothing except unless it comes with taqwa. Also, when Umar bin al-Khattab became the Khalifa, he gave a sermon to the people. And he said, I advise you to fear Allah and be good, because Allah is with those who fear and do good. And once a man was about to leave to go make Hajj, and he came to Umar, who was the Khalif, and he said, Oh Umar, give me some advice before I leave. Umar looked at the man and he said, I advise you to fear Allah, because whoever fears Allah will never feel lonely. SubhanAllah, look around at us. Look how many of us suffer from loneliness. Look how many of us fall victim to this disease of shaitan called loneliness. And we end up doing things we have no business doing because of it. We end up chatting with men on the internet that we got no business chatting with, because we've fallen victim to this disease of loneliness. Again, a person with taqwa is a person who would never fall for this. A person of taqwa is a person who has fear of Allah. Fear of Allah. And he knows that Allah is always watching him. Allah is always with him. So thus, a person who has taqwa is never lonely. And that's one of the ways you can tell if you have attained taqwa. A person with taqwa doesn't suffer from loneliness, because he knows Allah is constantly with him, and he puts his trust and faith in Allah and nothing else. So thus we can see, guys, from all these beautiful hadiths and all these beautiful examples left here for us to reflect on by the Sahaba, taqwa is something that we all need to work on attaining. Taqwa refers to piety, which refers to having fear of Allah. Taqwa is something that we cannot tell if a person has it. Only Allah knows who's pious and who isn't. Taqwa lies in the heart. You can't judge a person from the way he looks. Just because he has a long beard and a thobe means he's pious or he has taqwa. Just because she covers up her face and wears black and stays in her house doesn't mean she has taqwa. Only Allah knows who has it. And again, a person who has it is a person who has all that he needs. And we're going to talk more in detail about that tomorrow. Today we're going to stop right here. And tomorrow we're going to continue by breaking down taqwa even further. And we're going to be using a paper that was written by Bilal Phillips on the subject of taqwa. So if you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.